It's time for the gardening show.
I have a European beech tree.
I've got one too, and I dearly love it. So.
Oh, I love it too. I hug it once in a while. Constantly, but what the heck, you know?
Never hurts.
Got a question for your gardening expert, Dr. Dean Crosscough? Call 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0957.
I have a rose bush, and it is 52 years old.
Horticulturist Dr. Dean Crosscough is your host on the program, filled with helpful information on lawn care, tree problems, gardens, crops, pests, everything and anything gardeners need to know.
I'm hoping that maybe I can get it moved without it dying.
Dean spent almost 30 years teaching horticulture at Michigan State University, and he served as the integrated crop management agent for Southeast Michigan's MSU Extension Service. The Gardening Show and your calls coming up next on News Talk 760 WJR. Now, back to the Gardening Show with Dean Crosscough.
1-800-859-0957 if you'd like to join our conversation. And we have lines open. And so let me give you the phone number again. 1-800-859-0957. Or if you can't get through, or that question pops up in the middle of the week, you can read email me at wjr.com/thegardeningshow. And Darcy in Bloomfield, Paul in Ann Arbor, Brenda in Livonia, and Paul in South Lyon did that, and we will be getting to those answers. Well, their questions. I hope I'll have an answer. David in Lansing, too. Almost missed David. Later in the show, but I'd like to talk to you right now. 1-800-859-0957. Here's something you might want to put on your calendar. It's the Exotic Plant Show and Sale, which is sponsored by the Michigan Cactus and Succulent Society and the Southeast Michigan Bromeliad Society. And it's September 12th and 13th at Mathai Botanic Gardens at the University of Michigan campus. If you're familiar with the show, it's about 2 weeks early. So you might want to make sure that if you're like me and just kind of think about, well, it happened this year about this time, you might want to check your calendar, because this year it is the 12th and 13th at Mathai as usual, from 10 to 4. Now, the interesting thing about this, if you've never been to this show, this is fascinating, because you look at some of the most interesting plants I've ever seen in my life. These are houseplants. Some of them actually are not. You can grow them outside. But, I mean, just amazing colors, fantastic shapes, easy to care for in most cases. A couple of them are a little touchy. But there'll be lots of people there. The experts will be there to talk to you, sell you a plant, obviously, but also to tell you how to take care of it. And if you're looking for some new houseplants, and unfortunately we're getting to that point, like September, where we're going to think about, okay, it's houseplant time because it's snow outside. Check out the Exotic Plant Show and Sale coming up September 12th and 13th at Mathai. And I will put that on my upcoming events part of my program, or at the website, wjr.com/thegardeningshow. Okay, let's go. Ralph is in Grass Lake, has been very patient waiting for me. So let's go to Ralph. And welcome to the Gardening Show, Ralph.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure. What's up?
This is fourth or fifth time I've called you, I think.
Hopefully I helped you the other times.
Yeah, okay. A couple of times you have. Called you once about a dollar plant and so forth.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, it's still living.
Good.
My weeping cherry, I've had it out there about, I don't know, 8-10 years.
Okay.
Trunk is probably 4 or 5 inches in diameter at the bottom, and been very nice. This year, it didn't get any flowers, and I thought, well, you know, it was a tough winter, blah, blah, blah. But as the spring turned into summer, it was pretty evident that there wasn't as many leaves on it as there was a lot of dead branches.
Right.
Okay, so I went in, I trimmed out the dead ones.
Okay.
And now, starting about a week or two ago, it's losing its leaves. I have one here in my hand. I think it's supposed to be predominantly yellow, but the one I have in my hand has turned a dark brown, and it looks like somebody shot it with a 20-gauge shotgun.
Right. And the little holes tend to be on the red side. around the edges, maybe?
No, they're kind of like, they're black around the hole. I didn't notice until I sat down in the chair just now. I didn't notice that there was holes. I thought they were black spots.
Okay.
And I don't know, it's probably a bug, but
well, not
there's
necessarily
so many different kind of stuff on the market. I'm just wondering what I should use on it.
Okay. Well, I guess my first guess, and I, Ralph, to be honest with you, as you know, this is a guess since I can't look at it.
I understand.
I think it's a disease, and I think it's called shot hole. And if it's the same one that hits fruiting cherries, that would be it. Except the leaves have little holes in them, like you say, birdshot size. Mm-hmm. And usually the hole drops and there's a little red ring starts out, but it may be on the weeping cherry, comes up a little bit different. And
actually, around the holes look black, but around the edge of the hole, the black spot, it looks green.
Okay. There's a group of leaf spot diseases out there, and shot hole is one of them. And it's been bad this year for the commercial people, especially. I haven't heard too many in the ornamentals, but it makes sense. They're related, so they would have the same issues. I'm going to put up, Ralph, do you have internet access?
No, I don't.
Okay. How?
I don't even have a cell phone.
Sometimes I think you're smarter than I am, by a long shot. You've got a nice library in Grass Lake.
Yeah.
Check this out. Go down and check out the library. After Wednesday morning, because that's when I update my website.
All right.
And I'm going to put up some things on weeping cherry diseases and see if you don't spot the disease. I think it's a disease. I can't think of any insect that would give you those kind of symptoms right off the top of my head. And the problem is, Ralph, if the disease is that far advanced, there's nothing that we can do. You're just, the plant's going to live with it this season. I'll guarantee you, though, that you need to make sure that all those leaves that drop off are taken out off your property. Don't compost them or anything. They've got to be either at or buried because the disease spreads through the stuff on the ground. The other thing is that it sounds to me like you're dealing with some issues with the general health of the tree. And part of that is cold damage. And we're seeing some delayed symptomology. And if you can stay with me, you've been very patient. I ask for a little bit more patience, but I've got to go to a quick break here. But I'd like to come back to you, and let's talk a little bit about how to diagnose that problem.
Okay.
Okay, appreciate that. 1-800-859-0957.
Now, back to the gardening show with Dean Krauskopf.
And before we go back to Ralph and Grass Lake, need to thank the people behind the glass. Shannon Maley is the screener today, talking to you on the phone. And my producer is Rich Lozinski, and thank you both. As always, couldn't do it without either of you. Let's go back to Ralph. And Ralph, thank you again for being very patient.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Tied in with this. My daughter, you know, she's using the computer all the time.
Cool.
What would I, she can get the information from me, what should she log on to?
Okay, let me give you that. That's a good thing to do. wjr.com/.
What was that word?
It's a forward slash.
Oh.
Instead of a backslash, it's a forward slash. And it's then The Gardening Show. Or you can just go into WJR.com and look at Weekend Experts and then dig around in there and she'll be able to find the show. No problems.
The WJR.com/.
The Gardening Show.
Gardening Show.
Right. Now, we were talking about your weeping cherry. And again, I'm basing this primarily on what we're seeing in the commercial orchards. But, you know, they're that closely related. What we're finding is that the last two winters, have been so cold, and especially ones that on plants where they're a little bit exposed, what you're finding is that the tree comes out, but if you could cut the tree apart, you would find underneath some of the bark on some of the branches discolored areas that are basically dying. And it takes a while for that. And you saw that earlier when we were talking about all those dead branches and stuff you had to take out. Well, some of the branches and things don't totally die. They're just very highly damaged. So many of the symptoms that you're seeing, the lack of flowers, the dieback, and even stunting and things, is probably more related to what happened in the winter than anything else. Now, this yellowing of the leaves and things like that.
Yeah, they're falling off
That's more like a disease, although it could be related because if their part of the tree is damaged, it's not moving enough nutrients around and things like that, it could be part of this. But it sounds to me more like it's one of the shot hole disease would be my first guess.
Would it be prudent to hit it with some rapid grow or something like
no,
that?
No, not right now. What would happen if we did that, especially a liquid fertilizer like rapid grow, and there's nothing wrong with the fertilizer, it's the timing. What we would get is a stimulation of new succulent growth.
And it'd die over the winter.
Bingo. Doesn't harden off. Exactly right. So if we're going to fertilize anything now, basically you wait until after the leaves drop off and we get some good freezes. And then you could probably, it wouldn't hurt it. Rapid grow is one of the good ones. There are some tree spikes. Just regular old 10 or 8 would work too. But the point is that the timing is off now. And that goes not only for fruit trees and things like that, shrubs, you name it, anything, roses, anything that you want to overwinter, now we've got to start hardening them off. So,
Would it be prudent to... After the leaves are down, and the tree has gone dormant,
right,
to hit it with an oil spray?
Not unless you see scale or something like that. And I don't think so. I will see if I can find something on insects, but oil sprays work best on scales and things like that. And the best time for that, actually, unless we've got crawlers out and couple people like David and Lansing with magnolias. The magnolia scale crawlers are out right now, so the oil sprays are going on now. Most times in fruit trees, we do it in the early spring. So I don't think so.
Have it up on by Wednesday?
Wednesday morning. It'll be up by Wednesday morning.
Does that go all over the state?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sure. Yeah, okay. She can pick it up anywhere. As long as you got internet access. Like I say, I do have internet access, obviously, but ever so often I'll wander down to my local library. I like the librarians. They're great people. And do some things on their machines and talk to them, too. So I can't, I remind people that resource is there. And a lot of times librarians are very, very helpful at trying to dig out information that's not quite obvious. They're very nice, highly trained, very good people to talk to.
Is this disease that you're talking about, I had at one time, I had a row of about 15 crabapple trees that I planted right in a row in the spring. It was like the cherry blossoms in Washington. It was just gorgeous. But then apple scab comes along.
Takes them out.
I fought it for years, spraying with Captan and different things.
Hey, Ralph, to be honest with you, there's been such a great emphasis on breeding disease-resistant crab apples. Unless you have an heirloom variety that goes back in your family or there's some kind of emotional connection to the specific one.
I know what you're going to say. I already did it.
Get rid of them, and you can match.
I had a couple that never seemed to be affected.
Yeah, there is resistance available.
Took care of the disease very well.
Well, it all the spraying and everything on crabs just doesn't make any sense anymore to me. Hey, Ralph, we got to go.
But yeah,
take a look at that.
Thank you very much. Very helpful.
I hope so.
All right.
1-800-859-0957. Let's go to Kevin in Toledo. Kevin, welcome to the Gardening Show. Let's go to Kevin, and then we'll switch. Roxanne, you're going to be up next. So, Kevin, there we go. Are you there?
Hi. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, don't ever allow a host on a radio program to touch buttons. My producer's jumping up and down and yelling at me.
Well, that's understandable.
Oh, yeah, it is. With me especially. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm becoming everybody's friend with tomatoes this year.
Cool.
And, in fact, I'm delivering another 5-gallon pail today, right now as we speak. I grew 7 different kinds in a brand-new garden, raised bed. I've listened to your instructions. I got good soil. Great. Everything is wonderful, but I'm going to say that probably within another week to 2 weeks, the tomatoes will be at the end.
Okay.
I would like to know, now I'm down right over the border.
Sure.
Is there anything in that garden I can, let's say, start pulling out the finished tomatoes?
Right.
What can I plant and still get out of another quick crop of?
Oh, a lot of the spring crops that you can put in, radishes, kale, kohlrabi. It's probably pushing it, depends on where in Toledo you are or how close you are to the lake. You might get some peas in. Those are about 60 days, so it depends on when the frost hit them. All those kind of things could go in right now. And you could, and you'd get another crop, lettuce, those kind of things. The cool season crops.
I appreciate it. I just hate the idea that within 2 weeks I'm going to be looking at barren ground.
Yeah. Well, I agree. And I just put peas in 2 weeks ago, and mine are up and going great. So, you know, it's a little late for peas, but why not push it if you happen to find some, if you still got seed? It's
right.
Worth time.
I can always cover it for a few weeks.
Right.
I mean, I'm talking a 40 by 20 garden, and I've got a tarp designed specifically for it already.
Cool. I would go then with all the lettuces, all the different kinds of radishes. We'll all make it. Some of the brass, all the brassicas, and cauliflower, cabbage, no. You know, you've got quite a range of that kind of produce that you could plant. It would do very well.
Okay, thank you.
My pleasure. 1-800-859-0957. Okay, one of the things is, and of course you can email me at wjr.com/thegardeningshow. And one of the things that I'll try to answer your emails on the show. I can't do it off the air or directly email you. Anyhow, Darcy last week emailed me. She had a problem with her serviceberry. And, I'm just running up against time. I don't have time for that right now. However, Darcy, I'm going to get to your question. Paul in Ann Arbor, I hope you're listening because I do have time for yours. Planted about 30 apple fruit trees. They've struggled for the last 2 years. I can sure understand that with the winters we've had. Who do I look for to help me with these? A certified arborist, Paul, probably will not be able to help you. They're more highly trained and specialized in ornamental trees and forestry and things like that. I would suggest contacting Washington County MSU Extension right there. And the person I would ask for is Bob Bricault. And he'll be able to help you with that, get you information. I can get you information if you give me a call, 1-800-859-0957.
Now, back to the Gardening Show with Dean Krauskopf.
1-800-859-0957, wjr.com/thegardeningshow, either way. However, Roxanne's been patient, so let's go to Roxanne, and welcome to the Gardening Show. Are you there, Roxanne? Okay, we've got a line issue. So, Roxanne, if you can't, call me back. Let's go to another line, We've got open lines, so 1-800-859-0957. Try again, and that happens once in a while. So if you haven't been able to get through, I've got, we've got her, maybe. Let's try. Roxanne, are you back?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. We made it. Okay, what's going on?
Heard that.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, what I have is I sit here.
Nope. Hey, Roxanne, give us a call back. We're fading in and out, and it could be you don't know what's going on. Give us a call back. We'll give you priority. So, again, that number is 1-800-859-0957. We need to open that line up again. So, Roxanne, hang up and call me back. Sorry about that. Well, we're waiting, and I've got a couple lines open, so it doesn't have to be Roxanne to call me. We're talking about Darcy's question from Bloomfield, and she had a serviceberry. And I think it was a disease that was causing its leaves to drop off. So it's probably a rust. We answered that in WJR.com/thegardeningshow last week. However, she then had a comment, and it's really an important one. And her comment was, she said, I thought it was a service berry is a native tree, which it is. It was very hardy and immune to infections. And Darcy, this one is not your fault. You've been kind of got some misinformation, and there's a bunch of hype out there about native plants. Just because a plant is native doesn't mean it doesn't have its own set of problems. And most of them do, obviously. And like the rust on the service berry. Many of them can survive these problems quite well. Service berry really doesn't care that much. However, some of them will get killed. And that's a normal thing. It's just the way it is. We've had a lot of very bad information that just because it is a native plant, it's going to solve all our problems. Wrong. It's a native plant. They have their insect issues and what have you. I would suggest to people who are looking at new plant material or plant material, look at the background information. Find out, I don't care if it's a native or a non-native, what environment does it thrive in? What insects and diseases are it susceptible to? These kind of issues are the really important things to look at. And we get into that in invasive species, too. A lot of misinformation about invasive species. What may be invasive in Mississippi is not invasive in Michigan. And unfortunately, it's way too easy for people who are making websites to say, oh, I'm going to grab the information from Mississippi because obviously it applies to Michigan. I don't think any of us believe that one. I'll get off my soapbox here. The point is, just because it's native, non-native, anyhow, do some homework, and we won't get surprises like this. It's not your fault, Darcy. There's just a whole lot of people hyping out there, and let's put a stop to it. 1-800-859-0957. Let's go back to the lines. Let's go to Charlie in Redford, and then Rich in Trenton. You're up next, and Roxanne, please call me back. Let's try this again. So, Charlie, welcome to the Gardening Show.
Yeah, thank you very much. I got this white oak that the squirrels planted in my backyard. Okay. I really like it.
Right.
But the edges of the leaves seem to be curling on it. I was wondering if I got a disease or it's just
How old is the tree?
It's like just a year. Okay. I mean, the squirrels planted last year.
All right. Now, when you say the edges are curling, are they the tips turning brown too?
No.
They're just curling up.
Right.
Is it the whole tree, or is it just one branch here or a few leaves?
No. All the leaves on it are all curling like they've been too hot, you know?
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Is this, you know, I don't know, your squirrels are probably better landscape designers than the ones that live around me. But they tend to put them anywhere they can find. Is this one in an area where the soil, you know, is it a flower bed? Where is it?
It's along the fence.
Okay.
And I got heavy clay.
Yeah.
And it's in a good place, and I like to keep it. But like mm-hmm. I said, it's heavy clay. And
Is it started after the curling and everything after the heavy rains we've had, like in the last 10 days, 2 weeks?
I'll tell you the truth, I really haven't noticed.
One of the things I'm thinking about on heavy clay is with all the rain we've had, the clay holds a tremendous amount of water. And one of the problems with that is that when it has a whole lot of water in it, there's not a whole lot of oxygen in there. And newly planted plants, like your white oak, the roots are right on the surface. They require oxygen, and if they're not getting it because the clay is just waterlogged, it looks like they're wilted. And they're not. They're standing in water. What I would do, can you get at this white oak easily, Charlie? Okay, dig around a little bit, you know, so you don't disturb the roots, but just in that area, and do a little squeezing of the soil. And I'll bet you'll find that soil is wet. And basically, the tree's got to dry out if that's what's going on, or you can transplant it to another area where it'll dry out and get better drainage. The other point might be, is there any possibility there's a barrier down underneath there, underneath the root system? I don't know, concrete post, something that could be under
it? I really don't think there is.
Okay.
I'd
do a little digging, careful digging, without damaging the roots. Just take a trowel or something and work down and see what's under there. My first guess is that you hit it right on the head. It acts like it's hot. It can't pump enough water because there's not enough oxygen in that clay soil. Unless you want to transplant it, it'll probably come out of it. And once it gets bigger and the roots go deeper and spread out a little bit more, you probably won't see the problem. So that's what I'm thinking.
Okay, if I were to replant it, what time of year would be best?
This fall. Either late in the fall or very early in the spring. And you take as big an area around it as you can. And you're going to cut off. There is a tap root there. You're going to cut it off when you take it out. And that's fine. Won't harm the tree a bit. So don't worry about that. But, with a tree that size, you could do either. My best guess would be probably with a small tree, let's do it early in the spring. I think that would be easier to do.
Another thing is the squirrels also planted a swamp oak right next to it. I mean, right in the same hole.
You got to split those two out. One of them's got to go. And
you think would be a better one to keep?
Both of them are great. White oak is a really beautiful tree. Swamp oak, because if that's a wet area, might do better in that area. Obviously, it comes from it grows best in a wet zone. So,
because those leaves aren't curling at all, and they're really big.
Yeah. White oak requires, if you know, white oak tends to be higher. If you look at the native forests, white oak is not in the bottom along the stream banks or anything. It's up on the hills. Swamp oak, lower down, so it tolerates high water. So probably, from your telling me, I would leave the swamp oak and transplant the white oak.
Get rid of the white oak?
Yeah, or move it. Just move it someplace else and leave the swamp oak where it is. Sounds like it's doing well. Okay?
All right, because they're really close together.
They've got to go. Now's the time to do it. If you got two of them, you can't wait, because pretty soon those roots are going to interact, and they tend to actually bond, and then you're going to break up the root system when you take it out. So they've got to go. One of them's got to go this fall or the next spring at the latest. Okay, Charlie? We need to keep going. Hey, good luck with that. You got better behaved squirrels than I do. Let's go to Rich in Trenton. And Dave in Lakeport, stay on the line. You're up next. Rich, welcome to the gardening show. Rich, are you there? Don't tell me you got phone issues again. All right, let's go to Dave in Lakeport. Dave, there we go. Dave, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Somehow we've got issues on our phone line, so all of you who are tried and can't get through or whatever, keep trying. I don't know what's going on our end. Dave, what's going on with your tomatoes?
They're just starting to ripen, and I have both Roma and the Early Girl.
Okay.
And I'm noticing in all of them, just the ones that are ripening, that I've got small, like, little wormholes up near where the stem is.
Could be, sure.
And I don't know if that's like a tomato fruit worm.
Well, yeah, that'd be my first guess, or a corn ear worm. Actually, both of them will hit tomatoes once in a while. Hits peppers, too. And they go right in at the stem end, just around to the edge. Have you cut any open to see what's underneath?
One of my aromas, actually, almost half the tomato is missing and open when I went to pick it.
Sounds
like a big cavity inside.
Yeah.
It's kind of black.
Was there a worm?
The other ones have a little tunnel in them, but I don't see any worms.
I think it's a worm. It should be in there. If it isn't, I've got another possibility. Stay on the line, Dave. Again, if the phone lines don't screw us up, because I'm coming to a break. So if you want to give us a call, 1-800-859-0957. We'll be right back.
Now, back to the gardening show with Dean Krauskopf.
And let's go back to Dave in Lakeport. We were talking about the holes in his tomatoes. Dave, I think it's a worm. I have seen birds do that sometimes. I've never seen them open a hole in the center like you were describing, but I've seen them peck in on the edge and you get a tunnel down in. I don't know if that's a possibility. And it's,
I'm loaded with hummingbirds.
Well, I wouldn't think, you know, they don't have, I wouldn't see why they would be interested. It's more like, I don't know, not sparrows, but, you know, some of the other birds that, actually robins once in a while, things like that. And it's weird. That one's just strange. I don't know. It's on the stem end. If it was on the other end, I'd say it might be blossom end rot, which is a calcium deficiency. And by the way, just for people who are looking at my website, I have a great article from Gretchen Foyle about blossom end rot. It'll be up on my website after Wednesday morning. But don't think that's it. I think it's a worm. Now, how many of these are affected?
Well, I've got dozens hanging that are green, and there aren't any holes in those yet.
All right.
And I just went out and picked five.
Right.
And three out of the five had holes in them. And I did about the same thing, picked four a couple days ago, and three of them had holes in them.
All right. Let's do this. And I'm stretching this a little bit. There's a material called carbaryl, which is 7. And you can get it as a dust. Okay?
Okay.
And if you put that very carefully on and wear gloves, make sure it's in the morning when the dew's on it so it sticks, and just lightly dust on the top of those clusters or there, and make sure you get around that. If it is a worm, it will take it out. They will not penetrate. If it's a bird, it won't. You know, the bird can't taste the material. It's not toxic. Make sure this material does not penetrate the fruit. So you just make sure you wash it off very carefully. And there is a restriction on it. It's like every 7 days, I think, on that. You'd have to check the label before you can harvest the fruit. So you got to do it fairly early. But that's the only thing I've got. I've seen slugs do it where it's really wet, and they'll work around that stem end, but it's like you gouged it out. They don't burrow in as much, although they can. I've seen that. Could be a slug. You know, it's worth a try.
I could put the beer in the jar down for the slugs.
Yeah, that'd be my approach, too. Let's see what you get. It could be. I don't know if it's been really, you know, if you got a really thick canopy and it's staying moist under there, it could be slugs. I don't think it's birds.
They're together, and they're about 5 feet tall, and, I mean, I've
really
got to work
thick
to get in and see what's inside.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't be a bad idea to take some of that foliage out just to dry things out and see what happens. But let's see what happens if you get a ton of slugs.
Okay.
That might be it. And, you know, the thing about it is once they damage the fruit, that releases ethylene, which causes the fruit to ripen and turn red, so that's the one you grab. They're not really ripe. It's just reacting to the damage.
So,
the more I think about it, the more likely it is a slug because you're not finding a worm inside the fruit. But that's a guess.
Right. Now, I did have somebody recommend the 7 liquid.
I like the dust better. And it stays put a little bit. You can use the liquid. It's a little easier to handle. But I can see the dust where I'm putting it. 7 would work. 7 is a very good material on worms across the board. Another material out there, and this one is labeled for organic growers, is, give me a second. I will get it to you, Dave. I'm drawing a blank.
One of the pyrethrums?
No, the pyrethrums don't work. Spinosad. S-P-I-N-O-S-A-D. One of the brands, I've got to admit, these are one of my sponsors, is Bonide's Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. And it works. It's very good on worms, and it is organic label, but you still got to wash the fruit. You should do that no matter what. I don't care if you don't even use
anything.
Bonide
Captain Jack Dead Bug.
Dead Bug Brew, and it's Bonide, B-O-N-I-D-E.
Okay, perfect.
And it works. So that I feel a little more comfortable with that one than 7, to be honest with you. All right?
All right, sounds great. Yeah, because I've always had blossom end rot before, and this year when I planted, I used planted some tums around them and a bunch of eggshells, and I don't have any blossom end rot.
Okay. Now you got damage on the other end.
That's
hey,
right.
Give me a call. If you get a Dave in a week, give me a call back, and let's see if you if things stop. I'm just curious to see what it might be. All right?
That would be great. Thank you, Dean.
Thank you. Let's go to Rich in Trenton, and Steve in Royal Oak, stay on the line because I will get to you, too. Rich, what's going on?
Yeah, hi there. I've got a problem with creeping. Charlie's been creeping on me for a long time now, and my wife doesn't want me to use any chemicals on it, so I really don't know what to do with it.
I don't either. I'm serious about that, and I understand exactly where she's going with this, but I don't have any options for her because if you dig it out or you pull it, you just spread it. It gets worse.
Yeah, I've got it kind of slowly infiltrating my back and front yards. And
Here's what I would suggest. If you can convince her, a one- or two-time application of a material called Triclopure, and I'm going to put up on my website, wjr.com/thegardeningshow, some information on Creeping Charlie, and it'll list Triclopure as a test. If you can kill it off,
And
we thicken the grass up, then you don't have to spray anymore. I think that's the only approach I've got, Rich. I don't have any non-chemical approaches to this. I know I'm going to get inundated with suggestions, and I haven't found one that works. The only one, there is some information out there, and it's using borax.
Yeah, I've heard about the borax thing. A lot of people say it's up and down. Sometimes
it is up and down.
Lawn destruction, right.
Right. If you overdose, you kill everything.
Right.
I don't recommend it. I need to mention it because I'll guarantee somebody's going to say, well, you didn't say it. Well, I did, and I just don't like it.
Okay.
I have not.
We'll be chemical-free for about 5 years now, so maybe I can talk her into 1 year.
I don't have any options, Rich. I apologize for that. I just can't help you on that one.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Sorry about that.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.
You know, it's one of those things. Sometimes we just don't have options to people who don't want to use chemicals. And in this case, non-chemical approaches actually spread this thing, so it makes it worse. So, sorry, Rich. Hopefully your wife can see how we may need to do it in one couple times, get it cleaned up, and then focus on thickening up the grass. Speaking of grass, and Steve in Royal Oak, if I don't get to you on the air, you stay on the line. Don't hang up. We're going to put you on hold if I have to go off the air because I'm coming up the show. I want to talk to you off the air. Brendan Livonia and Paul in South Lyon gave me a soft grass. It's spreading, grows lower. I think it's bent grass, and I've talked to you about this before. I'm going to put on my website some information on how to identify it. Also, there's a herbicide out there called Tenacity that works very well. And I'm also, though, this is the time of year we're thinking about getting ready for fall. It's a good time to reseed and resod. So I'm going to put information on that from Dr. Kevin Frank about the National Turf Evaluation, what works best here in Michigan, how to read a label, and then the Lawn Care University. And if you're thinking about doing any renovation, go check that Lawn Care University out because it is fantastic information. Dave in Lansing, you emailed me information I put up last week on magnolia scale. This is the time of year you're seeing the crawlers. We can control it. Check last week's out. Well, no, I'll make it easier. I'm just going to put it right back and repeat the information. But for those of you who looked at the information for magnolia scale last week, I'm going to add something from Ohio State on how to identify the crawlers. They're out right now. So the horticultural or summer oil is now a good time to use it. So check that article out. Diane Brown, excellent article on that. What else have I got on the website this year? Steve and Royal Oak, stay on the line. I've got native plants of, not that I'm knocking them, you need great information. I'm going to put the Michigan Native Plant Association's website, the Wildflower Association's of Michigan's website. Great information, great growers, good people to talk to. So, you know, background music means that time has left us. I don't know what happened. Email me if something comes up during the week, wjr.com/thegardeningshow, and I apologize because I can't answer you directly, but I'll answer you on the air just as soon as I can. And the rest of you, Gardening Show will be right back next week. Have a great week.